Talking Business on Radio Q.
Well, joining me now is Dr. Stephen Moss, who is the managing partner of Eaton Capital Partners, which is a sort of an investment bank for professional and legal services firms. G'day, Stephen. Thanks for joining us.
G'day, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Now, apparently you started out studying psychology and theology in America, in California. So how did that equip you for how you've ended up?
Yeah, well, in fact, I started in the study of law. So I studied law at Sydney University. And then after a period in legal studies, I ended up joining the Jesuits, Alan, for a period of time, a couple of years. So incredibly formative years, actually. If I look back in it now and I see that I was learning to meditate, we called it prayer, of course, but learning to meditate, learning to be mindful in my late teens and early 20s. So it was quite shaping. And I went on out of that over to Berkeley and studied psychology and theology, as you say.
So those formative years as a Jesuit and learning theology, it didn't obviously lead you then into spiritual career. It actually ended up equipping you, did it, for what you ended up doing.
Yes, which is really psychology. And so
are you saying you're in the psychology business now?
Well, probably. I mean, we're an investment banking group, as you rightly described us. With strategy for law firms, strategy for professional services firms and helping them to maximize their value creation. But I firmly believe you do that with the whole understanding of people and not just the balance sheet and the financial analysis that we obviously do and do thoroughly. But I think what sets us apart is that we work with people and culture rather than the numbers coming first. I mean, the numbers are a given, if you like.
And how is it different advising law firms and other professional services firms to advising companies?
Yes, well, I guess my career after I went my study of psychology and theology, I joined Coopers and Lybrand as a direct entry partner. And Coopers, as you know, became PwC and was working in change management on the change management side when the IT industry was expanding. And I guess I found myself doing governance and management with law firms. And I think part of that, Alan, was that I had studied law but never practiced law. So I was interested in law itself, but also interested in how partnerships work, because they're a very, very different sort of animal, as you'd know, in the company world. So they tend to attract to management people that are the best lawyers and often not necessarily the best at strategy and business. So it was a real open opportunity, I guess.
When that kind of happens in companies as well, I think.
Yes, it probably does. But the whole legal services world changed in the 90s where state-based firms became national firms. And we had already done that in Coopers and Lybrand and Pricewaterhouse. So we'd made those changes 10 years before. So I really found myself working at that time in particularly legal services. And of course, we were doing M&A as PwC does. We were doing M&A in the general professional services arena as well.
One of the interesting case studies that springs to mind is Slater and Gordon, which decided to become a company. Yes. And listed on the stock exchange, which obviously has gone entirely pear-shaped.
It absolutely has.
Well, but do you think that's a result of it becoming a company? Would you say, would you advise law firms that are partnerships to look at the experience of Slater and Gordon and don't do it?
I would advise commercial and corporate law firms not to go into the open market. Most law firms now are LLPs or companies as such, but in the case of Slater and Gordon and a few others, they went public, which I think was a mistake in retrospect. Although having said that, commoditized legal services, there is a place for that. There's a place for the IP firms. There's been, I think, three or four IP companies that have now gone public. And that indeed will follow probably the same path as the engineering firms. The difficulty with being public, though, is you've got to keep on acquiring. You've got to keep growing to keep the market happy.
which is where they came unstuck, of course, by making that acquisition in the UK.
And that Quindell's was probably their undoing. But then the whole recognition of work in progress and the way that the PI law firms operate, and Shine Lawyers isn't the same, has been under the same scrutiny. But I think there is a place for a publicly listed legal service, but it must be a commoditized one. It must be one that's repeatable and scalable.
But what about other law firms and other professional services firms? Do you think the modern world requires them to at least behave like companies, if not to become companies?
Well, they certainly do. Certainly do. So the corporatization of professional services, it used to be the practice of law, wasn't it, or the practice of engineering. It really is now the business imperatives that are around in these worlds, because I think there's more scrutiny, there's more need for governance, there's more need for strong management.
Yeah, but with partnerships, I mean, what is the difference between when partners are partners and then they become shareholders of a company? How does it change them and the way the place works?
Well, in the partnerships, in the legal services partnerships, it doesn't change a lot, except that they are more accountable to bigger bodies rather than to an external governance board such as the public market. So if a law firm is one day just a partnership and the next day incorporates, it shouldn't make any difference to them. I think the accountability that's there in general as these firms get larger, and I'm talking now of, you know, many, many billion-dollar plus law firms around the world, and in Australia many half a billion dollar law firms. It's a massive management task, and in a sector that is changing, and Eaton Capital is finding that we're at the heart of that change in the legal services world.
Are you helping firms become part of global entities as well?
Yes, Alan. So we have been lucky enough to have advised five of the international firms that have come into Australia, and also about six or seven coming into Asia in general. So we've done some strategy work for those firms around the business case for coming into Australia. And that was admittedly five, six, seven, 8 years ago when the mining boom was going on. And there was obviously a more of an imperative in that environment. But also more recently, there's still many law firms, the mid-tier law firms in England, for instance, are beginning to look at the Australian market. So Eaton Capital's luckily got the opportunity and I guess got the reputation. There aren't many people that have specialised to the extent that we have in internationalising the legal sector.
There's also a bit of a disruption of law going on with firms like Lawyers on Demand. Are you involved in that?
I was one of the founders of Lawyers on Demand in Australia.
Well, there
as it
you
happens.
Are.
We put the capital, the original capital, with a number of others in that startup, which was only 5 years ago. It was called Advent Lawyers and then became Advent Balance and then sold last year, or merged last year with Lawyers on Demand. And that was probably the first of the major disruptors. In a sense, they and Axiom Legal was also a similar sort of organisation. And today, Crowd & Co. is another one that we're backing, which is a legal services tech company that's doing similar to what Lawyers on Demand is doing, but at a far more sophisticated rate, and also coming into this whole arena of artificial intelligence, which is one of the major disrupting things we're hearing a lot about.
Explain what Crowd & Company is doing.
So Crowd & Co. is a tech platform rather than a law firm. So Lawyers on Demand were a law firm, and Crowd & Co. are a tech company, and they're a two-sided marketplace. So a general counsel will put a job on the marketplace, and lawyers, and I think they've got about 600 lawyers registered to date. They've been going about a year and a half, and the lawyers bid for work.
But they also, it's like an Airtasker or a freelancer for lawyers.
It is, but it's a lot more as well. So the actual technology is being adopted by large law. It's seeing itself more as an enhancer to legal services rather than a disruptor, because it's a market we want to be friendly with, It's also doing analytics and artificial intelligence to help general counsel to be more efficient in managing their panels and so on. So it's a real marketplace for law.
So some industries, such as mine in the media, have been entirely disrupted. Do you think that that's going to happen to law?
I think it's true to say that automation will affect everyone. It'll affect every worker in the coming years, and I think law is no exception to that. I think we'll see. Well, I believe, and you'd understand this from my background, I guess, with an interest in psychology as well. I think it's important that we don't lose the attributes that humans have. You know, it's not only IQ, it's EQ, it's spiritual intelligence, it's psychological intelligence and intimacy and deep human trust, if you like. A computer can't do that. But I would say the whole sector is going to be changed over the next 5 to 10 years. It won't be recognisable. And it's really not recognisable from 5 or 10 years ago.
And you'll be in the thick of it, Stephen.
Enjoying it, Alan.
I'll be talking to Stephen Moss, who's the managing partner of Eaton Capital Partners. Thanks for joining us, Stephen.
Thanks very much, Alan.